Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to continue a number of messages about people that Jesus commended. He took time to talk to them and brag on them a little bit. Some things that we can notice about each one of these stories, I believe, as we look at the Word of God. Matthew chapter 15, and this message is entitled "A Gentile Woman and Her Great Faith." A Gentile woman and her great faith. Matthew 15, and we'll start with verse 21. Let's read through these verses, and then we'll have our comments at the Lord's laid on our heart for the evening. Verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." That's the same as Lebanon at this time, modern Lebanon. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." You can write right beside the word devil there, demon. And that's exactly what she was talking about. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet, or it is not good, it is not the best, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." A precious story about this Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician woman from that particular area. And she had a little girl. And Mark tells us she was a young girl. And this young girl was possessed by a demon. Now, you understand that there are demons. They are real. They are the cohorts of the devil. There's one devil. There are many demons. And demons can enter into people that are unsaved and can control people. The maniac of Gadara was such a one in the Bible who was absolutely controlled by demons. Isn't it interesting that he liked body piercing and chains and all of that kind of thing? Amen or oh me? Amen. So, that might tell us, give us a little clue where some of that stuff comes from. But this little lady was suffering a lot. We don't know exactly what it was. Sometimes it would cause epilepsy. Demons could. Now, that doesn't mean everybody that's an epileptic, that's a result of demons. But in the Bible, that was such a case. You study some of the different ones and some of the different things that were done, but they could cause physical problems. They could cause many other problems. They could cause meanness and hatefulness and murder and rape and all of those things. But demons being in a body can impact that body. And so she was really, like any mother, wanting her little girl to be released from the demonic power. And so she was waiting for her to be set free. Now, it was this woman that God or Christ commended for her faith. Now, why was her faith so great here? Why did Jesus commend this Gentile woman for her faith? And he certainly did. One reason, I think, was because of who she was. Because of who this woman was. Matthew tells us, or Mark rather, in chapter 7, that she was a Greek. She was a Gentile, in other words, she was not a Jew. And Jesus had something to say about that whole thing in that relationship. And what he's really saying was she was a Gentile, or she was a Gentile dog. And that's really the way the Jews would look at the Gentiles. And even Christ recognized the differentiation in the nation that was called to be his own nation and the rest of the world that was looked upon as the Gentile world. And so what he was saying to her is, and what she realized was, she had no claim on the Messiah. She was not of the commonwealth of Israel. She was not of the Jewish race. She had not entered into all of the blessings that they had been given as a nation and as a people. She was an outcast, maybe not a social outcast in among the Gentiles, but as far as the Jews, she was. And she knew that. Just like the Samaritan woman when Christ came to her she said, "Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew." By the way, he was a Jew. "And I'm a Gentile, and that just doesn't happen." So they recognized that differentiation, and she knew it. And so she was a Gentile, but she said, "Though I'm not a Jew, I'm going to have faith anyway in the Messiah. And I'm going to believe that he can do it." Now, there is an application here for us today, and I think that is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely has no race that has a right to have a prior claim on him. In other words, salvation is for anybody. It's for everyone, and I'm glad everybody can be saved. Romans 10, 12, and 13 verifies that. And I don't think Jesus was saying here to her that I will not save Gentiles. He was saying that I've come first of all to the house of the Jews and to the household of faith concerning the Jews. But Romans 10, 12, and 13, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all," the same Lord over all rather, "is rich unto all that call upon him." Everybody that calls upon him. And then he says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So anybody anywhere on the face of the earth, no matter what their race, no matter what their background, Jew or Gentile, that takes in all the other. The only other differentiation God makes is the church of the living God, all of the born-again people, and that's the church visible right now in the local sense, and later on it'll be the church assembled in heaven, and it'll be a visible church up there too. But I'm just saying that even though she recognized she was a Gentile, she said, "I still am going to have faith that he'll love me and he'll care for me and he'll do what I need to have done." Secondly, it came from the right source, the information, and of course what Christ told her. But Mark said this, and I want us to underline this in our minds and in our hearts. Mark, giving the parallel scriptures, and it's good to get a book that does that, a harmony of the Gospels. If you don't have one, buy a book called The Harmony of the Gospels, and it puts exactly what Matthew, Mark, and Luke said side by side, so you can compare those notes. But Mark said she heard of him. Now, Matthew doesn't say that, but Mark says she heard of him. She heard of him. And that's very important for us to understand. Why? Because in Romans 10:17, the Bible says, "Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I believe that's why Mark put it in there, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. She heard of him. I wonder what she heard about him. Well, I have an idea. She heard things like this. Somebody went to her and said, "I was over there the other day, and Jesus came by, and there was a blind man there, and would you believe this? He touched that blind man and said, 'Thy faith hath made thee whole,' and the man no longer was blind. He could see." Maybe later on she met somebody else, and they testified, and they said, "You know what? The other day there was a man that was crippled. He was crippled from early age in his life, and he was by the pool of water, and all of a sudden Christ came by and raised him and healed him, and he took up his bed and took off, and he could walk. And stories like that. And then somebody probably came up and told her, said, you know, there was a maniac, there was a guy that was filled with demons. You remember old so-and-so? How mean he was. Everybody in that area right around there knew just how mean he was. And guess what happened? Well, what happened, she might say. And they would say, Jesus came by and touched him and cast the demons out of him. And he was in his right mind, fully clothed, and left testifying to the grace of God and what God had done. But see, somebody had to tell her about it. I don't know that it says anywhere that she saw any of those things, but somebody told her what Christ could do. And that's where you and I come in. We need to tell what Christ can do. Somebody has to go about telling it. And that gets back to what our theme is this year. And we are with Christ. We're trying to go out and to seek and to save that which is lost. At least we should be. Somebody's got to tell if they're going to hear. Somebody's got to tell if they're going to know who Jesus is. I've been reading about Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas. And, of course, John Mark was with them a little while. And then they picked up Timothy later on. Timothy was with them after John Mark went back home. But you notice, I noticed something. Everywhere Paul went, what did he do? He went to a synagogue. And then what did he do? He told them about Jesus Christ. That's why he went to the synagogue. They opened the doors. They said, we want to hear about this. He went to Mars Hill, Athens, Greece, wound up there, and he got in a conversation, and they were going to really run him out of town and talk to him, brought him before a crowd, and he said, I've noticed out here on one of your little statues over here, there is a sign that said, the unknown God. He said, I just want to tell you who the unknown God is. If you'll just listen. And he did. And you know what? Everywhere he went, somebody got saved. Did all of them get saved? No. Did some of them get mad at him? I guess so. They threw him in prison. They beat him. Ran him out of town. You wouldn't have a preacher like that, would you? You'd vote me out of the church if all that happened to me. You'd say, we can't take a preacher like that. He's embarrassing us socially. But everywhere Paul went, he preached the gospel, and people got saved, men and women, Gentiles and Jews, and they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing it was, because he told them about Jesus Christ. He told them about Jesus Christ. And she believed that it would take place. She believed what she heard. And she said, he's done it. He did it for them. And I believe, bless the Lord, he'll do it for me. I believe he'll do the same thing for me. And you know, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. She trusted that he'd do it. By the way, are you trusting God tonight that he'll take care of your problem? Are you trusting that he'll provide your needs and he'll provide for your trials during your trials? We all have trials and tests. Do we really trust God, or do we fall apart? Sometimes, at least for a few minutes, we fall apart. Sometimes some people just fall apart and stay apart. Let me tell you a little secret. You better keep your eyes on Jesus. You must keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't keep your eyes on me. Don't keep your eyes on your wife or your husband or somebody else all the time. Keep your eyes on Christ. And that's going to take you through the trials and troubles and difficulties that you face. We're all going to face them. I guarantee you, some of you came in here tonight with a heavy load on your hearts. In fact, if I heard a great preacher say one time, if in doubt of what to preach, always preach to people about problems and heartaches, because somebody in that congregation is going to have some. And you can bet on it, that's just the way it is. Now, I don't bet, but that's just an expression that we use, all right? Just in case some of you wondered about that. But she believed it. Do we believe Jesus can save? Then he'll save a soul. Do we believe that he can meet our financial needs? Well, every once in a while you get something you didn't expect. You get something, you find out, the dentist says, well, that's about $7,000, and you've got to have it done. Or the surgeon says, I'm sorry, your insurance didn't pay but 50% of it. Sorry your boss didn't tell you about that, or something else, or you go through some other things. Friend, listen. Listen to me. Christ can take you through it. He'll provide the need. Lean on Him. Trust Him. Don't get nervous. Don't fall apart. Don't panic. Just trust Him, and He'll take care of it. And so he commended her faith because she had heard about him and she believed it. And then her faith didn't waver. And and I've already mentioned a little bit about that, but that's a challenge to all of us, that our faith does not waver when we're being tested. And let me just say this, faith is always going to be tested. By the way, if it wasn't tested, you wouldn't know whether you had any or not, would you? We never had any trials or problems, or we wouldn't know, the songwriter said, that God could solve them. So we have to have some tests in order to exercise our faith to see that God is going to bless and answer our prayer and honor our faith. And her faith did not waver. 1 Peter 1:7, the Bible says, well, let's go back to verse 6. Let me read that. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, just a little while, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, is what he's talking about. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. In other words, your trial of faith is more precious than gold. Most of us would rather have gold than a trial of faith, wouldn't we? You say, well, if I just had gold, I wouldn't be having these trials of faith. I know how you feel sometimes. But he says that as valuable as gold is, that the trial of your faith is more precious than that, because gold's going to perish. That is, the gold that we know about down here, or we'll leave it. But he says, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's when it's going to be worth it. That's when you're going to recognize how God used that difficulty, that tragedy, that disappointment, that problem, all of the things that came in your life that you did not want, if you turn them over to the Lord. I'm not saying that He causes all of them. He allows some, but the truth of the matter is they're going to happen because we're a depraved race and we've got to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as discouraging as the things were that she faced, her faith did not waver. She was tested. You'll see it here in four different ways. Look at verse 23, by the silence of Christ. When I was first reading that, I thought, this doesn't seem right for you to do that, Jesus. Here's a woman sincere and she needs help, and look what he said to her. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. He wouldn't answer. He didn't even acknowledge that she was calling on him. You say, well, that's awful mean of him. No, Jesus couldn't be mean. There's no way that he could be mean. You see, what he was doing was testing her faith. He was letting her go through some steps and testing her faith and seeing just how genuine and sincere. By the way, actually, he already knew it, but it was for her benefit and our benefit tonight. See, Jesus already knew what was in her heart. He already knew what she was going to do, but he just was testing her and putting her on the spot in her own heart. That may be hard to understand, but that's what he did. He just didn't say anything. Have you ever been there where you felt like the Lord, you're calling on Him and you need Him and all of that, and just seemed like it's silent? And you think, well, where are you, Lord? Where are you? And you have those times it seems like, Lord, why don't you dive in here and do something? You know, sometimes He's just checking us out to see if we're sincere, if we really mean it, if we really have the kind of faith that we say we have, that we talk about. And then another test was the attitude of the disciples, verse 23. They said in the latter part, after he wouldn't answer, his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. You know what they were saying? This is not convenient. This is not relaxing. This is not easy street. She's bugging us. She's saying, I want my daughter to be healed. I want Jesus to do something. and it's not convenient, they said, send her away. You say, well, how awful, those disciples. We do the same thing. We're too busy to come to church visitation, soul winning. We're too busy to serve the Lord sometimes. Some do, some don't. We say, it's not convenient. Send her away. It's bugging me. It's bothering me. I don't want to do that. And so those disciples of all people said, Jesus, just get rid of her. She's just in the way. Get rid of her. And then another thing that she had to go through was the Lord's words in verse 24. But he answered and said, he finally spoke up. First he didn't answer. Then they said that. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It almost sounds like he's saying, I'm sorry, I can't help you because you're not a Jew. But he was really saying, I have come to them first. And that was, by the way, the way it was supposed to be. And when they rejected, God used Paul in a tremendous way to be a special missionary to the Gentiles. But he never said he wouldn't save those people. But he was just putting the emphasis to see where it was. And that was his word. And it just seemed to be a difficulty. How many times have we let the word of God be difficult for us? We just can't believe it. We just can't accept it. It's there, it's his word, but we just can't accept what he says. But she still had faith, and she didn't get discouraged by that. Well, Jesus went a little further. In verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Do you understand what he's saying there? What he's saying is, you're a dog, and these are my children. You're a Gentile, and these are Jews. It seems like he's getting pretty harsh here. You're like a dog compared to them. But look at her answer, and this shows you how she turned her obstacles into stepping stones. And that's what we should do with the obstacles that come in our life. With all of these things, all of these things happening to her to discourage her, she still had faith. But look at her attitude in verse 27. What a humble attitude she had after he said that. She said, truth, Lord, that's true. You're right. She calls him Lord, by the way. And then she says, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from your master's table. Now notice where she was back in verse 25. She worshipped him. What does that mean? What does that mean, she worshipped him? If somebody walked up to you and said, what does that mean, she worshipped him? Literally, the word that is used here, the Greek word that is used here, means this, that she bent her knees and went prostrate before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good position to worship him in. I mean, she just got on her knees and maybe wrapped her hands, her arms around his feet, like the woman that broke the alabaster box. We don't know, but she worshiped him. I think we have a picture of her falling down before him and worshiping him. God help us to do more of that. And she said, that's true, Lord, as she was humble, worshiping him at his feet. And then look at what she said in verse 25, just a simple, Lord, help me. You can't be in a better position than on your knees worshiping the Lord and saying, Lord, please help me. You cannot be in a better position than that. And that's where she was, in her humility. Yeah, Lord, I'm a dog. I'm a Gentile. And I don't deserve for you to help me. And she said, truth, Lord, but look at the rest of it. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, I'm not a wild dog. I'm a domesticated dog. I'm the kind that sort of hangs around the table. And I'm just waiting. You ever see a dog do that? Some of you, I mean, most of you probably have. Everything from a chihuahua to a big dog or something like that. And boy, they want the crumbs. They want what falls off the table if you happen to let them around the table or picnic table or wherever you are. And that's what she was saying. She said, Lord, I'm not a wild dog. I'm a domesticated dog. I'm a little puppy, and I'm just here begging, looking up. Could I have some crumbs? Hey, by the way, that's what all of us Gentiles were. That's all we were, sinners, Gentiles. We were like dogs. We're not even Jews. I met a couple of Baptists that seem to have some of those other tendencies. I mean, they're pretty tight with their money, but all Jews are not, and I probably shouldn't even say that. But at any rate, she didn't let all this faze her. Now, another reason her faith was commended, not only because of who she was and because it came from the right source and because her faith did not waver and she used it as stepping stones, but it was richly rewarded. It was richly rewarded. Look at verse 28. Then Jesus answered. Now this, folks, get it in your mind. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord, speaking here. Not the great Apostle Paul, as great as he was, or Peter, but this is Jesus. Then Jesus answered or spoke up and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Wow, what a commendation. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. He said, I'm going to honor your faith. It'll be what you've asked for. Even as thou wilt, it will be done. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Just like that. He didn't even have to be there. Didn't even have to touch her. He said, I honor your faith. And the little girl, and Mark, again, read Mark's account. He tells a little bit more about it, about her going home and the people saying, you know, this has changed already. She's different. She's there. She was lying in bed, relaxing when Mama came in. And the demons were gone. Amen? Demon was gone. And so she was richly rewarded. How? Jesus commended her. How many of us would Jesus look at us and say, boy, you really, really have great faith. You really, really have great faith. And then she was rewarded because her child was healed. Thank God for that. Do you know Jesus went 50 miles out of his way over rugged mountains in that area where she was from? Out of his way. And he knew he was going to meet her. But he still went and paid the physical price, remember, as a God-man, and went out of his way. May I remind us all tonight something we don't ever need to forget. He went way out of his way when he left heaven and came to the old rugged cross on that old rugged mountain, Golgotha, and suffered and bled and died for us. Now, what does that say to us tonight? Well, of course, on Wednesday night, not a lot of unsaved people here, but it tells us that if you'll just trust Christ, he'll save your soul. And I guess the message to us tonight is get out there and tell them, because God will save some. God will draw them. The Spirit of God will draw them. The Spirit of God will deal with them. And we need to get out there and witness to some. He'll do the saving, but we witness to them. And then we need to be reminded tonight that any trial or any problem we have, God can handle it. Amen. Don't go out of here with 10,000 pounds of burden on your shoulders and in your heart. Go out of here tonight saying, God will handle it. God will take care of it. God will hear my prayer. God will get my son right, my daughter right. God will provide that finances. God will take care of me when my whole world falls apart around me. You may feel like you won't, but he will. He'll be there for you. He is there for you. Trust him in your trials. Trust him when you're being tested. And I think it reminds us that she had to hear. And folks, I'm telling you, that's what we need in our churches today. That's what we need at Worth Baptist Church, is more of us telling others about Jesus, bringing them to church, bringing the lost, telling the lost what Jesus has done for us. Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us have the record that is very important, or you wouldn't have put it in here. And we're thankful for the lessons that it has for us. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you commended this Syrophoenician woman's faith and healed her little girl. We'd be comforted with the reality that no matter what our burdens are, that you can take care of them. You can meet every need of this church and every need, each need of every individual member of this church. And God, help us to trust you and leave our burdens and our load with you. Let you handle them. And then, oh God, help us as a church to have a broken heart, and help us to follow Jesus, to be a Christ follower who came to seek and to save that which was lost. In his name we pray. Amen.